Joshua chapter 14. And we're going to be speaking about a man here that if we'll just read these verses and allow the Holy Spirit to help us with the understanding of it, then we'll come to find out that we as individuals will be better Christians. We'll end up having a more prosperous life. And not only that, people can see a change in our life. Even from last week, the people can see a difference in our lives. And I think the people need to see a difference in our lives each and every day as we walk with the Lord and as we serve Him. We need to allow Him to touch our hearts, and where we can go out and we can give what He's given us, to where we can go out and we can maybe help in some individuals that are struggling in life. And there are people struggling in life. Like I've said, and I've said it many times here lately, and there's a whole lot of people out here hurting. We know not what they're hurting about. But we do know one that cares for them. And we'll look after them and take care of their problems. A whole lot of times I'm guilty of this in the past. And even before I got saved, I thought that here I was a man, a healthy, and I thought I could conquer the world. And I didn't think it was anything like that I could not do and could not conquer. But I come to find out, I could not conquer hell. I could not even conquer the things that was going on in my life. And I had to realize that. And when I realized that, I had to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to do the work within my body, within my mind, within my heart, within my soul, with my every being. I had to allow Him to do it. I had to allow Him to do the changing, because I could not change anything about my life that would satisfy the Lord. And that's the reason that I believe the Lord would rather have an individual that is down on his luck, per se, is what the people out here say. They say they're down on their luck, but we know in God's vocabulary there's no luck with God. It's either we serve God and allow God to speak to our hearts. But here in Joshua chapter 14, we're going to see some things here that where Caleb and had a heart of love and had a heart of forgiveness. He was a wholehearted man. His entire heart was dedicated to the Lord Jesus. Is our heart, our total heart, dedicated to Him and to do what He asked us to do? And if it's not, we need to come to an old-fashioned altar where we can get in touch and we can speak to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can take our heart and he can change some things in our lives. And He's the only one that can do the changing. He's the only one that can take what is on our heart and give it to the Lord. You know, we can say, well, we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to forgive us. We cannot go to the Lord first and ask the Lord to forgive us. We have to ask the Holy Spirit, first of all, to forgive us. And we're sorry. And then we can go to Jesus. And then we can tell Him we're sorry. And then we go to the Father. But I believe that there's a direct connection between each one of them. And I think Caleb here, he had that connection. He had that connection with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord and with the Father. But here in chapter 14, in verse 1, it says, "And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Elijah the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the head of the father of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribes, for Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe and the other side Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them, for the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the tribe, unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgad, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kishonite. I know I didn't pronounce that right, but I bet the good. But thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses were on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet hast trodden shall be thine inheritance, and the children forever, for because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest, and that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Zephun, Hebron, for the inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephun, the Kishonite, unto the day, because that he wholly followed the Lord, God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba is, which Arba was a great man among the Achaeanites. And the land had rest from war. Right here we see where Caleb, we see right here some things about Caleb. We see where Caleb's character was on the mind of so many people. And Caleb wanted to have a character about his life, to where people would see him as who he is, and that the character that he represented was it wasn't his, but the character that he represented was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can have a good character, and we can have a good testimony, but I do not believe that you can have one without the other. You cannot have a good testimony if you don't have a good character. And I don't believe that you can have a good character without a testimony. Now, that's my belief. That's what I feel in my heart. I know some people may disagree with me on that. That's fine. But there were three witnesses to the fact that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And the same will be true of us if we are wholehearted Christians. If we are wholehearted men and women, then people can look to us and they can see that we do have a character about us. And the character that I'm speaking about, the character that we have, is the character of seeing somebody else better off than we are. The character of seeing someone saved. If I did not have that within my heart and within my soul, then I don't need to be up here. I need to be out there in the congregation. I need to be preached to. And I don't need to be preaching at people if I don't have that type of love in my heart. And that love will bring about some type of character. What type of character do we have? Do I have a character of love for that individual? Do I have a character in wanting them to come and visit the church, come and get saved? Or do I just want them to come to church and not worry about the soul? Which I know that no one can ever get saved without the drawing of the Holy Spirit. I know that. But even with me knowing that, I still need to have in my heart that individual on my heart and in my mind, that I need to pray for them constantly. We don't have to call out the individual's name. We just say, Lord, you know the one that's lost. You know the one that's been on my heart.
Lord, send the Holy Spirit to them. Allow the Holy Spirit to do something within the heart and to touch their mind in a way that they know it has to be you. You know, sometimes we are, and I know we've seen it in the past, you know, we've had to look and see where the Lord has taken someone home. The Lord has took them home early in life. And he didn't take them home because they weren't doing nothing. A whole lot of times he would take them home because they was faithful to him. And they was doing the work that he wanted them to do. But yet he had family members. He had friends that could not see it that way. So naturally, the Lord would get in touch with that friend or that family in that particular way. In a death of a saint. A saint of God that's gone on to heaven. That's the only thing that's going to be there in heaven. It's God's people. The saints of God. I remember one time a preacher said, you know, I don't like for nobody to call me and say, well, there goes a saint of God. I'd rather prefer them not to ever say that about me. But I understand what the individuals are saying. That they're saying, hey, he is a Christian. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see the church house grow. He wants to see the kingdom of God grow with souls. This church right here can grow, and we can grow, and we can get up to 100 people. But unless there isn't but one, if there's not but one of them, of the 100, they came to the Lord and asked him to save thy soul. And then they come into the house. And they come and they ask. Say, they come and they ask Brother Bill, because he's the one of the deacons. And he said, is there anything I can do to help? Or come to me and say, well, preacher, is there anything that you want me to do? I mean, don't make no difference. I knew a man that he took the initiative on one thing in the church house, and that was making sure that all the trash was gathered up every service. When you could go back on Sunday night, if you went into the restroom, you seen a trash can that was not left from that morning. The trash can was empty, and he'd put a bag in it, but that was his job. That was his job, that the pastor at that time, where he was at, did not have to worry about the trash ever being picked up. And he was trying to train some young people to do that. But you know, people today, they really don't want that type of a job in the church. You know what people want today? Sad to say, they want to be a deacon. Men and women, which we know about the women, they can't be a deacon, but they out here, they want to be a deacon. The reason for it is because I think it's in the book of Acts or somewhere over there now, it's talking about the deaconess. Well, Brother Bill, now he's a deacon here at the church. And where the deaconess comes in at, his wife. His wife needs to live the life that Brother Bill lives. Same way with me. I must live the life that God has imputed within me the day he saved my soul and the day he called me to the ministry. And my wife, she's supposed to be a representation of that. She's supposed to pray for me. She's supposed to do things for me that the people in the church should not do. But we need to remember, we are Caleb. Can we say, Lord, thank you for putting into my heart the things of Caleb, a wholehearted individual. There are these three testimonies suggest three great motives of a reason why we should wholeheartedly follow the Lord. The first one is that God may be glorified. If we don't do something to glorify the Lord, then we haven't done nothing that day. And God does not, he's not obligated to give us something that we've been wanting. The only way that we'll ever receive anything from the Lord is we have to bless him. We have to go to him and thank him for going to Calvary. Because see, if he didn't go to Calvary, where would we be at? If the Lord did not go to Calvary, and if he just, like they said that, it says, well, you could have called 10,000 angels and you could have come off the cross. See, he didn't do that. Just think a minute. What if? He said, okay. He says, Father, I can't go through with it. Father, because I've been through so much. They tied me to a post and they whipped me, they beat me. And they plucked out my beard. They plucked out everything. And they even trying to dismember me and everything. I said, Father, I'm sorry. I can't go through with it. Because the only thing that I've ever done, I've done for good. But they think that I've done it for bad. And just look, keep on thinking for a moment. What if the Lord had come down off of that cross? He was hung there between heaven and earth. Two thieves there. One on the left side says, if you say who you say you are, if you're the Messiah, and if you are the one that everybody's calling you, come down from the cross. He could have done that. He could have come down. But see, what the Lord had on his heart was that individual that was on the other side. He did not have no love for his family, for the people that he'd come in contact with. The only thing that individual that was on his left was there for. He was there for committing the unpardonable sin. That's saying no
to the Holy Spirit,
saying no unto the Holy Ghost of God. And you know, we can say no. Even a Christian can, a born again believer, they can eventually say no. They can say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do it no more. Just like I told you about the individual that, I went to that church and I was going to preach that day, but I went to Sunday school class, and one of the Sunday school members there, and he spoke up right at the beginning of the class, and he says, you know, we have visitation here to church every week. Every week. And we come every week. And I notice some has to work sometimes on during that time when we go. I says, but still it's not a day that you don't pick out that you don't go and go visit somebody or call somebody. And he told the Sunday school teacher, because the Sunday school teacher, he was looking after the people that they would go visit, and he had the names of them and the phone numbers of them and everything. And this individual told the Sunday school teacher, says, I won't be here this coming week. And the Sunday school teacher asked me, he said, well, are you got to work? He said, no, sir. He said, you got to do this, do that? No. Sunday school asked him, he said, what's the problem? You're not going to be here. You're just not going to come. He said, that's right. He says, I've got tired of coming. I've got tired of going to people's homes. And people flat out lying to me. He said, you know something? That's the worst thing that somebody can do is lie to you. And you know they're lying to you. He said, they promise you, and they will promise you, and they will promise you about, they're going to come to church. They're going to come. But then they never show up. And the Lord that day, he gave me something else to add to my message that I was going to preach that morning. And that was this. That when we go out and visit people, we must not bring up the church that we are affiliated with. We should not bring up and what we do at the church. We should not brag about the church. The only bragging that we need to do, we need to brag on the Lord and what the Lord has done for us. It's what the Lord has done for me. If the Lord had not spoken to my heart this week about the message, then I wouldn't have had a message to deliver. But in the Sunday school hour, the Holy Spirit gave me one more point to bring up. That was this. Don't go and brag about the church, that the church is growing. Don't brag about this and that. Don't brag about what we're doing in the church. Don't brag about, I've been to church last week. And, you know, we're supposed to get together, me and some other men down here. We're supposed to get together and mow the lawn. Work around the flower bed and everything. He said, but you know, they didn't come. He said, but I was there. I says, you don't brag on that. Don't discuss anything at all. If you're going to discuss anything with all at all, to the individual that you go visit, the first thing that we need to discuss is how God has been so good to us. And if they can see where God has been good to us, has been there at times that we did not know He was around, and we just tell the people how we got saved and who saved us. Then after we do that, then we tell the people what the Holy Spirit and the Son taught us to do. Taught us that I must not go down to the Hyco Lake this weekend. And I must not go to Smith Mountain. I must not go to Bugs Island. I must not go to Philpot. I must not go to Curtin. I must not go anywhere like that. Where I need to be at, I need to be in church Sunday morning. See, because God did not save me to where I wouldn't go to the lake. God saved me because I was lost. And He is still within my heart. The type of love that only He can give out. And that's the agape love. The agape love that He has. And He will give it out to the ones that wants it. He's not going to just dish it out to us just to be dishing it out and saying, well, I hope they use it. Mm-mm. The Lord knows exactly who's going to use it. The Lord knows exactly who's going to experience it. The Lord's going to know exactly the individual that's going to go and speak to somebody this week. The Lord's going to know exactly what they do this week. The Lord's going to know. Why? Because He's an all-knowing God. He knows it a year in advance. He knew it 2,000 years in advance. That I would get saved tonight. But see, I didn't know that. But see, after getting saved and everything, I come to find out and come to realize that there in the book of Genesis, where He created man from the dust of the earth, and then He breathed into man's nostril the breath of life. He done all of that for me. What did I do for Him? Not a thing. Not a thing. But see, that was the first two things He done for me. Caleb knew all of this. And Caleb wanted for his life to be just like the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's what he wanted for his own life. And that must be what we want. The three testimonies. The first one is that God may be glorified. The second one, that others be edified. What am I speaking about? I'm speaking about talking good about the people that we come in contact with. Because you know, if I come up to an individual that I can smell alcohol on and And he's not dressed anywhere that, you know, that we would think he's supposed to be. And then I start condemning him. What I'm really doing is I'm condemning my own self. I'm condemning my own self because why? Because I was once thou. I may not have been a drunk. And I may not have been the individual that had on filthy clothes and nasty and all that. But I was still lost. I was still lost. But now, I'm saved by the grace of God. Sin is still upon me. Sin is still in my body. It's on the outside. And yes, in my soul and the inner soul and the outer soul fighting daily. Fighting daily the war. That the devil wants us to have. We must be satisfied. We must be satisfied within our heart in whom we serve. And if we're not satisfied, we need to check up. Because we're doing something wrong within our life. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 8, it says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." The people's hearts melt. We don't see people come to the altar anymore that will shed a tear for an individual. We don't have nobody will even come up to the altar and that we have a family member that we know that it's a good possibility that they lost. But we won't come up to the altar and we won't pray for them until the tears start pouring out. When a tear starts coming forth, then I feel like that they can feel the prayer of the people. Why? Because it just does not stay right here, and it just does not come down and stain the carpet or stain the floor, wherever where we at. If I'm sitting at my desk, if I go to God in prayer, then I need to go to Him with a sincere heart and who I have on my mind that He will touch these tear ducts. Did you realize in each one of our eyes we've got a tear duct? Did you realize within that tear duct we have, they call it another name, but basically what it is a cap. It's placed over the tear duct. Where the tears will not come from. The tears will not come flowing. And I wished that God would take them plugs that I have in my eyes, that He would take them tear ducts and open them up
and get rid of the stoppers. But you know, I've had people to tell me, I've had grown men weigh 300 pounds. I had one that he would probably went over 300 pounds when I was going to the city farm. And I brought up this fact about the tear ducts. And I says, we don't want to get rid of the stoppers. And I says, that's just like going out here and digging a well. We've got the well, we dug your well down 85 or 100 feet. Then we've got a submergible pump down there, and we got a 1.5 or 2 inch pipe that's running from that submergible pump up to the top of the ground, about 6 or maybe 12 inches from the top. And then we got that, we'll run over to the house. And then from there, it will run into the storage tank. Then it will go into the storage tank, into the other tank. Is that the
heater, the heat,
it will go into that, and then it will come forth, and when we turn that spigot on, the left side, then hot water will come out of that. Then we can take the left side and we can turn down the cold water from the well. We've got that stopped up to the point that we're hurting. We're hurting, why? Because of the heat. Because, you know, if you just got hot water coming out of the spigot, you can't just stick your hands up in it and wash your hands off. Because if you do, what's going to happen? You're going to burn your hand. You need to have a little mixture of both. Cold water, and then warm water. You mix it together, you mix them both together, then you've got little warm water. You wash your hands with soap, you can wash them till the cows come home. And that'll burn.
But in thinking about all of that, just think about, we get up in the morning and we'll go to the restroom, and we want to go down and wipe our face and clean our face off real good. And then we want to go and maybe brush our teeth. But then if we go in there and if we come to find out that we don't have no hot oil that's coming out of the spigot, nothing but air. Then we turn the cold water on. Nothing's coming out that cold water spigot. Nothing but air. You can hear the air going through the line and everything, because it's popping and all that. Let me ask you something. Is sometimes our life that way? Is sometimes our stand that we take is that way? We must always be able to turn on the spigot that's in the left eye. And we also should be able to turn the spigot on in your right eye. And how do we turn the spigot on in the right and the left eye? We have to have our heart right with God. Then he will turn the spigot on. And when he turns it on, then tears just will start flowing. And not only that, they'll start flowing when we come to the altar. But just as soon as the service is started, somebody comes up here and starts leading the song, "Just as I am," then the tears will start flowing from the face. We don't have people doing that anymore. People are not concerned. We're not concerned enough just to ask God to turn off and remove the stoppers from our eyes. That the spigots there will be completely open, wide open. And when I say wide open, I'm talking about when the very first words comes out of your lips. As you're thinking about, you thanking God for something, and when you start thinking, and when you start hearing somebody thanking God for something,
then automatically your heart and your mind goes back to the day that you got saved. To the day that you got saved. The day that we got saved, the day that I got saved, if the Lord had come back after me right then, I'd have dropped this old fleshly body. And I wouldn't have had to ask him anything. I wouldn't have had to ask him nothing to do with this body. Once I said yes unto the Lord, save my soul, and write my name down there in your glory book, in your roll yonder. As soon as I confess all of that, he was to take me out, take me home. What good would I be to him after that time? No. I'd just be going home. I'd just be going home, and I can get up out, and I just said, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me." But that's all I could thank him for. That's all I could thank him for. And not only can I thank him for saving me, I thank him for being the one and the only one that could keep me saved. And I don't have to worry about it. So many things we worry about defeats us. And it never comes to pass. Never comes to pass. I was in a revival, a jubilee about 10 years ago, and this pastor of the church, of a particular church there in that area, he come at night and he's going to preach at night. And he was in his 80s, mid-80s. And he said something that really, at that time, I was beginning to wonder where he was going with that. He could, you know, you could, if you didn't watch it, you could allow your mind to wander, and you'd wonder, oh no, it's one of these that you have to serve God
And you also have to serve mammon, which is the devil. But he come back and he said this. And he said, you know, in his long years of being saved and being a Christian and preaching and pastoring a church, I've had it. Sometimes it seemed like it was day after day that people would come up to me and I talked to them and I asked them how they're doing. They'd say, I'm not doing too good this week. You're not? No. I'll help you pray about it. He said, well, he said, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to help or not. He said, sure, it'll help. And the individual would tell him what he was going through. He was having a battle with the devil. And the battle that he was having, that he was questioning his own self. If he was really saved or not. He was questioning when he went to the altar that night to get saved. And after he got saved that night, he said that before he could get home, he asked himself, he says, I don't know if I got saved or not. Says, yes, I feel something within me. But he said, I just don't know. I don't think I got saved. I think it was just the emotion that was getting away with me. And he said, and with the devil, and the devil, he'd been riding my back a whole week. All month. And says, you know something, man, I don't like the devil. And I wish the devil would just get off my back. And that old preacher said this. He said, you need to switch around what you're thinking. Don't think about your question, your own salvation. You think about and thanking you think that you've been thanking the Holy Spirit allowing you to believe that the devil has got you. The devil's on your back, morning, noon, and night. He said, when the devil gets off of your back, and when the devil quits bothering you,
then the devil's already won his battle because he's got you. And he says, what every one of you that are here tonight, that is saved. If you've never confessed it, if you've never said it to yourself, or said it out loud to someone else, you need to start remembering it. You need to start saying it. And he said, you need to say this. You need to say, son, thank you for saving my soul. And he said, son, I'm going to thank you personally for allowing the devil to attack me every day, every night, every morning. He's because when the devil is not attacking you, then you are vulnerable.
may be vulnerable to where you may, somebody can end up talking you from leaving your church where they preach the word of God, and you go into another church. Where they're speaking another language, and where they're out here in that aisles dancing. And while they're out here in the aisles and everything, they just will go up and praise God and all that, and all of a sudden they just fall right in the flow. He said, be careful. Be careful in what you do. Be careful in just bragging. Because what you was bragging on, you was bragging on that you had the Lord. And yes, we need to brag on the Lord a whole lot more than we do. We do. I need to brag on him a whole lot more than I do.
But he says, then you need to turn around. And you just need to go to old Satan, slewfoot that he is, the liar, the murderer, the one that don't care anything about you, don't care anything about your family, don't care anything about your children that's out of church, don't care anything about nobody. Only thing he wants to do is keep them out of church. And you need to thank him every day that he's riding your back. Because that's the only way God can really speak to you. When you know somebody is attacking you. That's just like me out here. Me and my wife, we go somewhere, and I'm going to stop with this. Me and my wife, we can go somewhere. We can meet up with people. We can see people. See people we're in school with and everything. But I have it in the back of my mind the whole time that we're there. I said, you know, someone comes and says something wrong to my wife or about her. Then they're going to have a bloody nose. But I'm not going to stand around and take that. But see, I'm thinking about all of that going on when I'm going, and none of it happens. What did I do? I just defeated my own self. What I should have done, I should have went and said, Lord, I know you're going to be with us. But Lord, when the Holy Spirit tells me that the devil's going to start attacking me, he says, don't do nothing else, but you just welcome the devil to attack. Because when the devil attacks you, then that's when you will fight for what you know is right. And I promise you, you won't be in the fight alone. I'll be right there with you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be the one lays the first punch. You're not going to be by yourself. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you once again for your word. Thank you for Caleb and the life that Caleb lived. And Father, help us to live that type of life, that we can have a good testimony. And when we have a good testimony, we must have a good character about us. Any other way around, Lord. If we have a good character, then we must have a testimony that will stand the test of time. Father, we pray now, Lord Jesus, that you will use the words that that you spoke to our hearts about. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you've spoken to my heart. Because I need preaching too. And I thank you for you preaching to me this morning. And Father, with these people that love you so much, that they want to see souls saved, they want to see this church, they want to see the kingdom of God grow. And by the kingdom of God growing, by in which the people would just come out and visit Faith Baptist Church. And Father, we're not praising no one else, but we're praising you this morning. I love you this morning more than I can ever imagine. And Lord, I pray that my own tear ducts, where it looks like in the past that they've kind of been stopped up, the tears will go so far, but Father, they don't run down my face anymore. Lord Jesus, I'm praying now that you will take the stoppers that I have, where I've stopped the tear ducts up, that they may be removed to where your tears, my tears, can go forth for what you've done and for what you're going to do. Let our tear ducts show our love for the people of the world. Allow our tear ducts to touch lives, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.